Welcome to Outreach Church. Thanks for checking out this week's message. To hear more, subscribe to our podcast on iTunes or visit outreachchurch.net for downloads and service information.
Praise the name of the Lord. The enemy's wondering why you're still here, why you're still standing today. That's what that song made me think of. He's tried everything to keep you down, and here you are singing God is so good. He's so mad. Let me open my computer real quick. How's everyone doing? Yes. Are you blessed? Are you anointed? Are you highly favored? Are you healed? Are you whole? Are you set free? Hallelujah, I am too. That man is a good man, Roy Giese, and his wife. It makes me cry every time he introduces me because I love him and I love Patty so much. And they've really, like, you just don't see what they do for people behind the scenes, but they've been walking with me for like 12 years through my addiction, through it all. They've made space for me to be all that God's created me to be. They've pushed me. They've encouraged me. They've cut out lies when I'm listening to the enemy. They've helped me so much, and I just want to honor them. And just tell them how thankful I am for the space that they've made for me. And it's funny because there's this awesome man that I loved so much, and he just recently passed away. And when he first came to Outreach, he actually called Roy and asked him what was going on with that girl down front. You know, why is she hooting and hollering and spinning like a top? And it's just so funny that someone like asked the pastor that. But Roy was just, he just covered me. And he's just like, the Lord set her free from drugs and alcohol, and it never got old. And she's just going from glory to glory, and she's still excited about it. So yeah, I'm a little bit extra, but I can't help it, you guys. Like, I don't know any other way to be. It's who I am. It's from the inner man, and it just comes out. Like, I cannot be still. I cannot be silent. Like, I am so annoying to the enemy. And now I've multiplied myself, and I have two little girls. So it's like, ah! But I don't know any other way to be. Like, God can do anything with a life surrendered to him. Anything. Like, I have a recovery ministry where we meet once a month, and I stand before him and I tell him, you're going to have to figure out what you're going to do with Hannah, because I'm here to take away all your excuses. Because where I came from, I'm going to get a little bit vulnerable and possibly a little bit graphic today, because I've never shared this part of my story, but I felt like the Lord led me to share it today. Like, I'm going to tell you how low I was, and it's going to take away all your excuses. When I stand before drug addicts and alcoholics, and I go into rehabs, and I go into the jails, I'm talking to people who are low. And if a pastor or somebody who hasn't been through anything goes before them, it hits a little bit different when somebody stands before them and takes away their excuse to stay the same. I've been where they've been, you guys. And it's hard to share, it is, but I'm going to share it today. So, just a little piece of it. So, I had gotten to the point where I was so addicted that I was having grand mal seizures. Any time my body was depleted of drugs or alcohol, my body would go into seizures. And that's pretty bad, that's pretty sick. Like, at first it starts out fun, but then you become a slave. That's how sin is. It doesn't matter if it's addiction. You will become its slave. It will become your master. But so when I would wake up and at night, I would have to take a bunch of medicine, like just any pills I could find to make myself pass out. And then in the morning, I would have to go as fast as I possibly could to the freezer to get a drink before I had a seizure. That's how bad it had gotten for me. But the Lord changed my life. He changed all that for me. He changed all that for me. And I stand before you today as someone who is taking away all your excuses. Like, I'm super nervous. It's not my person. People are like, oh, it's just your personality to get up there. No, it's not. Like, I need the anointing. And you have the anointing, and I have the anointing. So he's made a way for me to get up here, and he's made a way for you to do whatever he has put in your heart to do. And I came today to stir the stagnant waters. I am not going to let you sit there and stay the same. You are going to leave different today. There's going to be a fire in your belly today, okay? Praise the Lord. So over the last 2 years, it's just kind of, and you guys could testify to this too. It's felt like the Lord has just gone through my life with a fine-tooth comb. Like, every area he's putting his finger on. Is anybody there? I guess I got to this place with the Lord where he's like, all right, now we're getting down to the real stuff. We're gonna deal with it. And I feel like he's gonna deal with some stuff today in our hearts. Here's the thing about Jesus. He's about wholeness. He is about complete wholeness. He gave everything for you to be completely free, completely whole, lacking nothing, missing nothing, completely perfect in him. And he's about wholeness. And that's what I felt like. He's just getting down to the core of those hidden things, of those things that I just did not want to give up. And the reason some of you are feeling tension in some areas of your life right now is because the Lord is moving you out of a place of being okay with anything less than wholeness. I'm going to say that again. He literally woke me up Friday night. Well, I didn't go to sleep until like 4 a.m. because he was talking to me, changing this whole message. So this is for somebody today. This is what he said, and I wrote it in my phone. The reason some of you are feeling tension in some areas of your life is because the Lord is moving you out of the place of being okay with anything less than wholeness. When I was about to get sober, you guys, there was a tension in my life. No longer was I okay with drinking and using drugs. All of a sudden, I was like, I need out of this. There was a tension that happened that came into play, okay? And then recently, fast forward almost 10 years later, I've had asthma my whole life. Okay, since I was a kid, like going to the ICU, awful. So up until like a month ago, when the Lord just completely shifted my perspective, I was taking a rescue inhaler 2 to 3 times a day that was only meant to be taken once a week. That's how bad my symptoms were. But the Lord just said, Hannah, it's time. Hannah, it's time. Just like he did when he called me out of drugs and alcohol, I heard his voice, Hannah, it's time. Give this to me. But I stood in attention, and I know the Lord had been after that inhaler. I knew it. I was totally trying to pretend like it's okay, you know, but he was after that because he's like, Hannah, you're a new creation. You are a new creation. You are disconnected from the curse. So he said, it's time, but there was a tension that I stood in. This was like a month ago, because I knew what was about to be required of me. There was about to be faith required of me to step into the healing from asthma. And I knew that I was going to have to battle some symptoms, battle it out to get that breakthrough. And so I stood in that tension, and some of you are standing in that tension today. You know the Lord is about to call you into some breakthrough, but you're kind of scared of what it's going to require of you. But I'm here today. He was with me every step of the way. And yes, symptoms came. And as they came, I felt like the Lord said, Hannah, declare your righteousness. Declare your righteousness. He wasn't saying, Hannah, rebuke the symptoms. He wasn't saying that. He was saying, Hannah, say I'm the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. And then it opened up a whole new world to me of like, if I'm righteous, then I'm disconnected from everything that the fall of Adam produces. Okay, so anger, fear, all physical symptoms, pain, sickness. So when I was giving up my inhaler, I realized, wait a minute, I've been taking these nose spray for allergies like every day. And so I can't stop taking my inhaler and then keep doing my nose spray. So like for the first few days, I wasn't taking my inhaler. I was declaring I'm the righteousness of God and cry. I'm a new creation, you know, and then going to the cabinet and getting my, and I am not like condemning, and I'm not telling you run out of here and get off your medication. I'm just telling you what the Lord's shown me, and hopefully it will encourage you. But like, if we're declaring healing in our mind from addiction, you know, from anxiety, from depression, then why aren't we standing in healing for our bodies? Come on. I'm going to be preaching like a 65-year-old bishop today. I am going to talk about healing. I was like, Lord, are you sure I'm old enough for this? Should I have gray hair? Like, but seriously, why aren't we standing in faith for miracles anymore? I've heard a lot of teaching of people being like, you know, our only calling is to Jesus. And I agree with that. Like, I 100% agree with that. But I think as the church, we do the ditch thing that Roy talks about. It's like, okay, so we're going to stand over here and we're just going to adore Jesus. We're just going to be in our prayer closet and we're not going to step over here and just do something. Step out and do something. So the ditch is we're in our prayer closet and we completely quit believing for miracles and stepping out and being the hands and feet of Jesus. So I felt like today I wanted to stir some stagnant waters. And she confirmed it, like, oh my gosh, she came up to me and she was like, the Lord said that you were going to stir up stagnant waters today. And I was like, what? But no, this is what the Lord said. He said, another great commission. He said, commission my people today. So that's what I'm here to do. I'm here to light a fire. But I literally wrote down, we are not meant to be a stagnant pond. So for her to say that, isn't that crazy? You are not meant to be a stagnant pond. You're meant to flow like rivers of living water. What the Lord does in you is meant to be released through you. It's meant to be like fire shut up in your bones. You gotta release it, man. You gotta release it. So this year, I've been reading like the whole Bible, okay? Like, I got an app, I started in the Old Testament, and in this one's doing it like you read a couple of chapters in the Old Testament, and then you go through the New Testament, so you're reading it in tandem with the Gospels. Oh my goodness, you guys have to do this. Like, I always knew the stories from the Old Testament, but like going through and reading them line by line and then comparing it to the Gospel and like the weight of Jesus's sacrifice, the righteous requirement has been fulfilled. Like, that right there should have you jumping and spinning like a top. People should be calling your pastor and asking him, what's wrong with you? Okay? So anyway, as I've been reading through the Gospels and the Old Testament, my heart is stirred for miracles. And it's manifesting in my body. Like, I literally got to the point where I stopped taking my inhaler. And I don't have any symptoms anymore. I don't. They're gone. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, they came though. They came, and I had my awesome friend only one person I knew who was going to actually hold me to the Gospel, texting her, telling her what was going on, and she was just standing firm, and she didn't waver, and I didn't waver, and those symptoms came, and my chest would get tight. And this is how I know it was a spiritual thing, is because my chest would get tight and all I had to do was just wait a little bit and just stand firm, declare my righteousness, declare I'm a new creation, and it would leave like within seconds. Because in my mind, it stayed a spiritual battle. If I would have gotten and said like, oh, this is physical, you know, this is something physical that is happening to me and I need to take my inhaler, then I would have. But isn't that amazing? Like, my heart is stirred to see the kingdom manifested again in the world. If there's ever been a time where the kingdom of God needed to be manifested by the people of God, it's right now. We have done a really good job at telling the world what we don't agree with and what we will not do. And posting, we don't agree with this. I don't agree with this. Okay, but what do you believe? What can you do? Can you go forth in power and demonstration of the Holy Ghost? Can you see miracles? Can you walk like Jesus did? Can you believe? These signs will follow them that believe. Come on. I'm here to push you. I'm going to push you today. He can use anybody. Don't wait for a class. Don't wait for training sessions and get yourself out of that box. God didn't put you in a box. You don't have to be on staff at a church. I'm not on staff at a church. I'm just a lady off the streets. I'm not saying be like me. I'm just saying, like, the gospel can stir you to a place where you are so full of him that you will manifest, you will be his hands and feet everywhere you go, and you will have a hunger to see healing in your own life and in the lives of other people. In the grocery store, your heart, have you ever just seen something and started to cry out in public? That's the Spirit of God right there. You see a situation and it just brings you to tears. It's because the Spirit of God's heart, his heart is breaking over that situation. And in that moment, you're his hands and feet. And I think we do get into the ditches of, like, you know, it's weird to lay hands on people, you know, and so we're just not going to do anything. It's weird to pray in tongues, so we're just not going to do it at all. But I feel like the Lord sent me today to stir you up, just to get back to the basics of the faith. Lay hands on people. One night I was doing the bedtime routine with Nova, okay? And she's, y'all are going to laugh at this. I go in there, she's sitting cross-legged on the bed with her hands out like this and her eyes closed. And she just has this serious look on her face and she's like, "My hands are Jesus's hands." It was rocking me. I was like, sometimes she says things I've never heard before that I know just came straight from heaven. You've got to listen to your kids, man. But she said, "My hands are Jesus's hands." And she said, she put her hand on the pillow and she said, "When Jesus made his handprint, my hand came out of that." And she said, this was the kicker. "My hands are Jesus's dining tables." Like, straight from heaven. I'm still unpacking that. Like, I'm like, okay. Like, but it spurred me. The Lord spoke to me. Keep laying hands on people, Hannah. Keep believing for miracles. Keep stepping out. Don't let it stop you when you don't feel like it's your personality or that you're qualified enough. Like, it does not matter what you say when you walk up to somebody. The Spirit of God is going to breathe on what you have. I feel like the reason that some of us don't share our testimony or don't reach out and pray for people, or we don't push ourselves beyond that limit, is because we look at what we have and we see it as small. We look at what God's done in our life. We see other people's testimony and we think, we don't have a big testimony like that. We don't have a lot to give if we walk up to somebody and pray for them. But that's because you see what you have as small. But nothing is small when the Spirit of God is on it. Nothing. Look at David. Look at David's life, you guys. I did not even plan about talking about David. But that's, I guess, the Lord. I'm like, "Lord, you got me talking about David too? I am a 65-year-old bishop." All right. So it's all stories that we know, but I just feel like I'm praying that there's fresh life on this today for you guys. Amen. Okay, I'm not going to go to David yet. But when I went to rehab, there was a pastor there, and he said something that rocked my world. And it still has to this day. Little is much when God is in it. Little is much when God is in it. You've got to stop calculating your ability. It does not matter if you can do it or not. He can. He can. So one day I was in my neighborhood and I saw these two guys walking through. And one of them was limping. And the other one looked like a pirate, and it was just so awkward. But I was like, "Lord," I was out walking, and I was like, "Okay, the Spirit of God lives in me. Like, I am going to go after them." So they walked by, and I didn't have the courage. And I was like, "Lord, if you make them walk by again, I will go to them." So, of course, they walked by again. I'm telling you, I'd never seen them in my life. I walk up on them. One of them's like, you know, like, I startled him. He's like, "What's she walking up to me for?" I had no idea what I was going to say, but I just wanted to be a vessel. I felt drawn. The Spirit, Jesus was drawn to them. So I just said, hey, guys, I just want to tell you God loves you. And I, you know, I used to be an alcoholic. I just kind of shared a little bit of my testimony. I was like, can I pray for you? No. No, we're good. And I was like, have a blessed day. And I just kept walking. Actually found out that guy works somewhere, and I was like, oh gosh, like I saw him, and I was like, wow, this is awkward. But anyway, I walked away, and the Lord is like, you have no idea what I'm going to do with that. And I had like this feeling that one of them was going to wake up in the middle of the night with those words reverberating through their spirit. You don't know what God can do. Stop trying to be perfect. Stop trying to have a sermon or a plan. Just walk up and say something. And the Lord can take whatever you said, and you're going to walk away and your heart's going to be pounding, and you're going to be like, that was awful. I'm never doing that again. I'm never doing that again. But the Lord, his grace is sufficient. Amen. Praise God. I still have 30 minutes. Okay, so let's get into this. Are you ready? Let's actually start the sermon now. Just kidding. All you need is the anointing. The Bible said that Jesus needed the anointing. When he walked the earth, he walked with human limitations. Don't let people say, oh, well, he was God. But he was anointed by, like, he had to have the anointing. The Bible says he grew in wisdom, which means he was not just God manifesting. He was human too, because God can't grow in wisdom. Okay, so that needs to take away our excuses right now. Like, don't look at the example of Jesus and say, well, that was Jesus, because he is our example. And the Bible says that God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and power, and he went about doing good and healing all who were oppressed of the devil. So guess what? Jesus had the anointing, and you have the anointing. All you need is the fire. You need the passion. Once it gets in you, I'm telling you, man, you're unstoppable. A couple weeks before, like when I was preparing for this, the Lord gave me a picture that I was standing up in front of you guys, and I went and I had my hand up like this, and I was telling y'all, so I'm assuming he wants me to do this. You and Jesus are not like this. You're like this. He's the head. You're the body. You abide in him. He abides in you. You can do the works that he did and greater. We have no excuse. The very life of God is alive on the inside of us, and healing emanates from our spirit. Healing emanates into our bodies and makes us whole and gives us the ability to release healing everywhere we go. One of the big shifts that I had before I gave up my inhaler was I heard this guy say, y'all, it shook me. He said, when you read the story of the woman with the issue of blood, who do you identify with? The woman with the issue of blood or with Jesus? I have always identified with the woman with the issue of blood. But she was a sinner trying to get healed. We should be identifying with Jesus. I always thought, like, if I say the perfect prayer, you know, Jesus is going to come and touch me and take away my asthma. But no, that's not how it is. As he is, so are we. He is seated in heavenly places. We are seated in heavenly places. We are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Our healing has been purchased. Our spirit man is completely perfect, radiating healing, radiating wholeness, radiating righteousness into our very being. So that shift for me, man, that was good. Like every Bible story, I've always identified with the person trying to get healed. But we're supposed to be releasing healing like Jesus did. We've already received all that we're going to get. Okay? So Jesus had the anointing. Jesus taught the disciples up to a certain point. They didn't realize they were getting taught and trained, but he spoke with them privately. They watched him have compassion. I love how the Bible says over and over, he was moved with compassion, and then he healed every single person that came to him. Just imagine like having a front row seat of all the miracles of Jesus. Like Jesus was at work, y'all. He was at work. Like he was working all day long, but doing the will of his Father was his food. That's where we need to be again. Doing the will of the Father is my food. That's what is my sustenance. That's what keeps me stirred up in the Holy Ghost, is doing his will and seeing him move in power. You cannot be stagnant once you start seeing the Lord move on people's lives. It's not prideful to think you're anointed. Okay? It's not prideful to think that the Lord has created you for good works that he prepared beforehand that you might walk in them. There's literally things that he has for you to do. And if we sit back and think, well, oh no, I'm just prideful. You know, I'll be honest with you and vulnerable. For the longest time, for years, I would like lay my head down at night and I would see myself preaching. I would see myself preaching and I would literally think you're just exalting yourself. You know, I would, those thoughts would come like, no, Hannah, you're not after a platform. You're just here to adore Jesus. And I would have dreams about like laying hands on people and then being healed. I mean, I dreamed that I raised the dead in my dreams. And like, so it's just like the Spirit of God just emanating. But I think sometimes in the church, we think it's prideful if we get a word and we want to share it. And the reason I say that is because I've beat myself up before because I'm like, I'm sharing too many words. I'm talking too much. People are going to get tired of hearing me talk, you know, and I just kind of disqualified myself and I felt myself start to shrink back. But I feel the Spirit of God today just releasing you from any feelings of pride when you step out to do the works that he created you to do. He created you for that. And even if you fail, even if you stutter, I'm telling you, we got to get out of this mentality of like thinking in just this realm. You have no idea what happens when you just release a shout in this room. I was here Wednesday night for the worship night, and I'm not going to use her name because I don't want her to like have to go breathe into a brown paper bag. But she came down I could tell it was like probably her first time giving a word, and she was so nervous, you guys, but she did it. And it rocked the spirit realm. Little is much when God is in it. It was one sentence. And she was just being obedient. And it was not her personality to get up here and do that. And it doesn't have to be your personality to step out and do the works that God's created you to do. I love what Roy says about looking at something as little, because the Bible says, if you're faithful with little, he'll make you ruler over much. But Roy said, like, how are we faithful with the little is by not looking at it as the little. Like, this is the much for me. This, whatever this thing that looks small in my life, just like David, now we're going to get to the David stuff. He was on the backside of a mountain tending sheep. That was his assignment, was to take care of those sheep. Have you ever held a baby lamb? This has nothing to do with what I'm talking about, but I just held one this year, and you need to put it on your bucket list to hold a baby lamb. Oh my goodness, they're the most peaceful animals I've ever been around. And like, also, not to be the crazy, like, charismatic, but you could see like how Jesus was like that. He was led like a lamb to the slaughter. They are the sweetest animals. And anyway, so I can see why David loved his sheep so much if they grew up with him, because they are so sweet. But anyway, that was David's assignment, was to take care of those sheep. Even when Saul figured out that the anointing was on David, like, Saul figured out when David played his harp that his mind was set at ease, and like David was an atmosphere shifter, okay? And that's what we are. And I love that you brought that up last week, because I've been thinking about David playing his harp and like the Spirit of God just moving as we have worship on in our homes. But when Saul figured out that David had the ability to do that, he called David to come live with him in the king's house. But David was already anointed king, which I don't really know how that worked out, because is he like not telling anybody? You know, he's just keeping it under wraps. Maybe he was that humble. You know, I don't know how that worked out. But Saul had him come into his house. And it says that David still went home and took care of his sheep. He would occasionally go home and check on those sheep. And when Israel went to fight the Philistines, David went home to check on his sheep. It says his brothers went and followed Saul to the battle, and David went home to check on the sheep. That's where he was when the whole Goliath thing was going down. And I don't know, that just spoke to me a lot, that he carried that heart of a shepherd in the little things. Okay? Is this helping anybody? Yes. Oh my goodness. Okay. And it even says, like, when he went home, that was Jesse, his father's house, to tend his father's sheep. He went home to check on them, take care of them. And Jesse said, you know, they're in the valley of Elah, you know, take these supplies and take them to them and send back word of how they're doing. It says, it made a point to say, and David went and got a keeper for the sheep. That just blew my mind of like, just the intentionality of stewarding what the Lord has called you to in the little things. The intentionality of having that thought, okay, he could go rush off to battle, but it made a point to say he went and got somebody to watch over the sheep while he was gone. And David carried that, the heart of the father, the heart of a shepherd. And you're going to love this. 1 Chronicles 11. Then Israel came together to David at Hebron, saying, indeed, this is the people. Indeed, we are your bone and your flesh. Also, in time past, when Saul was king, you were the one who led Israel out and brought them in. And the Lord your God said to you, you shall shepherd my people, Israel, and be ruler over my people, Israel. I love that, like, that he said he watched him be a shepherd of the sheep. He was intentional with the sheep. He was faithful with the sheep. And he said, now you're going to shepherd my people. And it's not about like climbing a ladder of promotion. It's about having a heart for the one. It's about having a heart to see the kingdom manifested. And I don't want to climb a ladder. I want to be trusted with miracles. Like, I want to be trusted to where my heart is humble enough, where the Spirit of God would move through me, that people would literally be healed when I touch them, that these are his hands. So I just wanted to make that connection for you guys. Like, it's not about like, I'm going to be faithful in little so that I can move up and I can advance. It's not about advancing. It's just about having that humble heart of wanting to steward the Spirit of God, wanting to host his presence in my home, in the little things, with my children. Come on. Really? Okay. Y'all, David was risking his life for one sheep. Put that picture of Mr. Miyagi up there. That's God right there. I'm just kidding. He was risking his life slaying the lion. Wait a minute, keep it up there. Slaying the lion and the bear while he was on assignment with those sheep that he loved. He would risk it said, the Lord delivered me from, or he would go after a sheep that had been taken by a lion. One. He would risk his life and go do that. And he was being trained. He didn't know it, but he was being trained for the big things that were coming. Goliath. And this is how the Lord works. He gives you toddlers. I know what you're going through if you have toddlers. I just want to tell you, I see you right now. Me and Jason were cooped up in the house all day with ours yesterday. Man, it was fun. The Lord is going to teach you and train you in things that have nothing to do with anything. Like, he showed up, Daniel showed up, and he's like, I'm ready to learn karate. And Mr. Miyagi's like, okay, paint the fence. Jason's dying right now. He's like, okay, paint the fence. And I'm telling you, at the end of that movie, I cried. When he did this thing, I was like, I literally cried. I felt like the Lord wanted me to watch this because Jason's like sitting on the couch watching it. And I was like, what is this? Like, I never saw. I just recently watched it. Oh, now I'm getting the haters. How dare you? I watched all of them, though. Do I get more points for that? The Spirit of God is on this movie, y'all. Like, I'm telling you, when he blesses him with the car, I was like, oh, man, it's so good. But anyway, okay, you can take it down now. But I want you to keep that visual in your mind and think about your life right now. Think about the little thing that the Lord has entrusted you with. Don't view it as little anymore. Let it be your fence. Let it be big. Most of the time, it's going to humble you. Just keep your heart right before the Lord. Just keep your heart humble before the Lord. He's called you to do great and mighty things. Heal the sick. Raise the dead. Cleanse the lepers. Cast out demons. Freely you've received, freely give. I'm going to share one more story. Is that how much time we have till the end? Okay. Can we get someone on the keys? Is it Aya? Okay. Oh, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You know what? I'm just going to shut this. When I first got sober, I had to go to a detox center. And that's where they medically take you off of what you've been on, basically so you don't die. I was on a mixture of things where I would have died. I had had several seizures over the years. And my detox process was so horrific that people in there were amazed that I was not getting any better. And these are other drug addicts. You know, they're like, you're still struggling that bad? And it was just one of those things where the Lord, like, it was a spiritual situation where the enemy was, felt like claws were being removed from me. And I felt that pain. And it made me never, ever want to go back again. But when I left there, I was terrified of relapse. I lived in a fear that it was going to happen again. I was living in a reality where the devil could make me. The devil could do something to me and make me go relapse. I lived like, it would be like relapse was around that corner staring at me. That's how I lived in my mind. And so when I got, they figured out that I did not pay to get in. So they were like, how did you get in here? Like, it was totally God that I got in. I was drinking a beer up to the door. And they just accepted me. But then once the business office got involved, it was like, what are you doing here? Anyway, so they kicked me out after 10 days when I'd probably needed to be in there 3 months. It took me 3 months to be able to stand up without blacking out. Like at home, I would stand up, I would black out, I would get on the floor until my vision would return. And I was scared to death. And so I started going to meetings. I didn't know what else to do. I went to church as much as possible. I went to outreach. And I started to immerse myself in the recovery culture. And I would say what they said. And then I would come to church and Roy's like, you're a new creation. He was teaching about identity like all the time then. He still does, but he was saying it a lot like, you're the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are healed. The old has passed away. The new has come. And that truth was confronting the lies that I was trying to stay in. The word of God and the truth is the only thing sharp enough to divide between what's soul and what's spirit. Because sometimes what's soul just looks like just fine. Just looks like this is how everybody else is thinking and doing. This is what you do. You go to AA and you say you're an alcoholic for the rest of your life and you live by the sword. Because if I quit going to these meetings, I'm going to drink again. That's the general consensus in there, which I love those people. I'm not bashing them. Go to AA if you want to. But anyway, what Roy was saying was confronting those lies, and the tension started to rise. And I started to get uncomfortable. And I stood at a crossroads and the Lord said, Hannah, are you going to continue to agree with what was and what is passing away? Or are you going to agree with what is through Christ? And I chose that. I talked to Annie, I think. I was like, I was scared to stop going. And so I talked to a few people. I was like, I just want to, and Annie was like, do life, like get out of there. Like it was obvious to other people, you know, but I decided to just start going and praying for people. I decided to start going to Renewal, the local rehab, and praying for people there and giving away what I had been given. I even stood up in front of like a lot of people and I was like, guys, thank you, but no thanks. I'm just kidding. I just said like, thank you so much. Cause I had built a lot of relationship in there. I was like, thank you for being there for me and everything, but I'm going to go volunteer. There's a time when you need to like kind of figure out what your issue is and get to the root, but it's a short time. We should not be, like, decades could go by of us just being introspective, of us just, like, figuring out where we got it wrong and how can we get it right next time. And I mean, this is with everything in your walk with the Lord. Don't spend too much time thinking about how you just keep getting it wrong or how to get it right next time. Just look at Jesus. Just stare at his face. Close your eyes. See him. See the lashes he took on his back. See the cross. See the blood poured out for you. See the crown of thorns. See the tomb. See the resurrection. Jesus died for everything that I was going and being enslaved to. He had set me free from drugs and alcohol, but I went back to another mindset that was keeping me bound, that was keeping me under the sin of Adam. But the law of the Spirit of life has set me free from the law of sin and death, you guys. And you too. So when I was leaving that meeting that night, this lady pulled me aside and she said, you're an alcoholic. Y'all, I literally was smiling so big. I think they didn't like me. My sponsor did not like me because I was good. Like every time she asked me what was going on, I'm like, I am so good. I was so happy. Like there was nothing wrong with me anymore. I was just free. I was so happy to not be taking pills every day and just feeling bad all the time. But anyway, she said, you're an alcoholic. This is where you belong. And you always will be. And I just smiled and gave her a hug. And to me, that was my confirmation. I'm doing the right thing. You know? And God bless that woman. I love her. And she didn't know. You don't know what you don't know. But, and something so funny, you guys. They were all so worried about me after that. Because if you leave, it's like, you're done, you know? You're toast. And I knew that. And that's why I was like, you guys, I'm good, okay? So anyway, I was at the grocery store like a few weeks ago. And a guy who was there at that meeting that night was at the store and came up to me. And he was like, we were so worried about you. The first thing I said to him, I was like, I'm sober. I was like, I'm married. I have two kids. Like, God's good. And he can see the light in my eyes, you guys. And he's like, oh, thank God. But it's just so funny. I was so happy to just redeem that. I was like, I said, go back and tell everybody that I'm doing good. But anyway, the crossroads that I stood at was the crossroads that I stood at for the rest of my life and I stand at today. What are you going to agree with? Are you going to agree with symptoms? Are you going to agree with pain in your body, insecurity in your mind? Are you going to see yourself like the enemy sees you, as nothing? As it, like the enemy speaking to you saying, you're insecure, you can't do that. You're not a pastor. You're not in leadership. You're not on staff. You can't do that. Or are you going to agree with what was purchased for you on the cross that said, as he is, so are you. God sent Jesus, so he sent you. Jesus said, the Father sent me, so I send you. The Father sent me, so I send you. Are the waters being stirred up in your heart this morning? Come on. He can do anything. Anything, you guys. Praise his holy name. So I think he wants to bring healing today. He's already brought it. It's just going to take us stepping into it. It's going to take us making a choice. Splashing the water in our faces. When was the last time you splashed this water in your face? And looked in this mirror. Because this is what's going to show you what is through Christ. You can't even agree with it if you don't know what's in it. We need to stop looking into the mirror of the world, of culture, of social media, of comparison. And we need to look into this perfect law of liberty. You want liberty? You want freedom? Look in the mirror. That's who you really are. This is who I really am. You know what's not real to me? Wheezing and sneezing. Come on. And it's easy to agree with it, you guys. That soul. But the truth came to divide us from that. You're healed. You're whole. You're anointed. If everybody would just stand to your feet. Thank you, Jesus, that healing emanates out from us. We are carriers of the presence of the Most High God. We are carriers of healing. So right now, if you've got an issue in your body, I want you to raise your hand up. Oh, we welcome you, Holy Ghost. And come out of agreement with that you're that woman trying to get healed. and that you're one with Jesus, the one who emanates healing, the one who emanates Zoe life flowing through your veins, through your shoulder, through your hip, through your immune system, through your gut, through your back, through your neck, through your feet, through your hands. The very life of God flows within you right now. I want you to just imagine the breath of God filling you up right now. Oh, fill us up afresh. Fill us up afresh. Breath of God, blow, 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 blow. It's flowing through your very being right now, from the top of your head to the soles of your feet. The breath of God, the life of God, the righteousness of God. Is there anybody in this room who you want to give your life to Jesus right now? You've heard the message today and you said, I want to give my life to Jesus right now. Anybody? We're doing baptisms today. Today would be the best day to get saved because you could just go and get baptized if you want to. Anybody? Okay, so put your hand up if you want to get saved. Is there anybody? All right. Praise the Lord. Woo! Hallelujah. Raised to new life. Raised to new life. Hallelujah. A member of the prayer team, if you would just go back there and pray with him. I don't know who you are, but I want you to look in my eyes right now. I love you. I love you. And God loves you so much. Father, we just thank you. We magnify your holy name in this place. We thank you for the healing that's taken place. We thank you for the stagnant waters that have been stirred. We thank you for the stagnant waters that have been stirred. Is there anybody in here who struggles with addiction? I want you to come down here. Come on. Freedom's in the room today. Come on down. Don't wait another second. Don't wait another second. Don't wait another second. Come on, you want this life? You want this life? Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Father, I thank you for complete and total freedom right now in Jesus' name. We thank you for Zoe life. We thank you for Zoe life to be breathed inside of her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet, God. Complete and total healing, complete and total freedom in the mighty name of Jesus. Thank you, Holy Spirit, for coming and filling up my sisters, Lord. Nothing missing, nothing broken. Nothing missing, nothing broken in the mighty name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, that they would find that they are complete in you, Father. Free indeed in Jesus' name. Free indeed in Jesus' name. Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. Ghost, Lord. Fill her with a fresh fire, a fresh passion for you, Lord Jesus. I just see the Lord filling up all the hurt, all the pain, all the years of struggle, all the years of striving can be gone in an instant in his presence. Can be gone in an instant in his presence. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, for complete healing, for complete wholeness, for complete healing, for complete wholeness. Come on, just release that. Release it, release it, release it, release it. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Don't hold it back. Yeah. We come in. We just declare freedom in this atmosphere from everything. Come on, just give him a shout of praise. Give him a shout of praise.
Come on, thank you, Jesus. Jesus, we say that you're the King of Kings, that there's no one like you. We want to give you everything that you paid for in our lives. So, Father, we acknowledge you. We just thank you for what you've done today, how you've marked us with your presence. Be glorified in our lives, Jesus. Amen.